Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ujvala Radio, a show dedicated to love and passion, and the power they have to transform our lives. Now, find a comfortable place to sit, relax, and enjoy the show. And now, here's Terry and Robin.
Good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are listening to Ujvala Radio here on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. And we are excited that you're here with us tonight. I want to thank all of our regular listeners and all of our new listeners. It's great having you with us. And I say us is, of course, I'm joined tonight, all the good nights in my life. I'm joined by my beautiful, talented, and amazing, caring, spectacular wife. So, hi, Robin.
Hi, honey.
How are we doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm excited about tonight's show. I'm also excited about starting the second semester with Yoga Veda Institute, and so, you know, we're learning more, we're doing more, and I hope that people will keep tuning in every week to keep up with what we're learning, and maybe even, you know, be inspired to do you know, some self-education about some of these things that we talk about. And of course, if anybody's interested in knowing more, I have my Inspire meetings on Wednesday nights on Zoom at 7 o'clock, and if you go to the website, you can sign up for those, and those are also free. There's no, you know, we're not selling anything. There's no charge for that. It's just free, and it's more information. It's more in-depth, more personalized information about Ayurveda and how it can help improve your physical and mental health as well.
Absolutely. And yeah, actually, I was getting the information together for the Inspire group so that we can give a few links out here in just a minute.
Okay.
Do want to remind everybody that this is a call-in show, and anyone who would like to call in, join the show, ask any questions you have, have a polite conversation. We will be happy to host you. And just call in at 646-564-9714 and hit the one button on your phone, and that will throw up a little flag that lets us know you want to talk. I say that because we do have listeners, some of our regulars, in fact, that call in and they just sit in the telephone switchboard and listen to the show from there because they sometimes have trouble with their internet connections. So that is a perfectly legitimate way to listen to the show live. Again, that number is 646-564-9714. And let's see, I'm having a little bit of an argument here with the website. And that's me being, you know, apparently being deficient. Having one of those moments where the computer is arguing back. But if you are looking for information about the Inspire group, you can go to ujvalaayc.com/offerings/inspire. And that will take you to the information page on Inspire. And there's a couple of places, there's buttons where you can sign in or register, sign up for the Inspire group. And that will take you through the process of getting you signed up and set up in the computer so that you can see all the stuff that is posted that's locked up just behind the members only page. So take a look at that. Also, if you're on the page, just go to ujvalaayc.com and you can sign up for our newsletter to become a friend of Ujvala, and you will get we haven't even sent but one out now, but you know, newsletter talking about radio show topics, any blogs that are coming up, any programs that we are conducting. We're talking with a couple of and recipes. We're talking with a couple of the municipal government and a couple of organizations that want us to come speak, and we'll be letting people know about those. And it's just that kind of stuff in the newsletter. We're not going to beat you to death with it. So just sign up and become a friend of Ujvala. It'll make it a whole lot easier to keep up with what we're doing. You can also check out our Facebook page, Ujvala Ayurveda and Yoga Center on Facebook, button while you're there. And let us know that you checked it out. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Ujvala C. So those are just some of the ways that you can keep in touch.
Do you think we should spell Ujvala for everybody?
Oh, sure. Okay, Ujvala is UJJVALA. And so the website is ujjvalaayc.com. And that will that'll get you set up. And I believe you can link that from the Facebook page as well. So there you go. So tonight, like Robin said, we're excited about this. It's something that we have been working very hard to incorporate in our lives. Now, since Robin started studying Ayurveda at the Yogaveda Institute, and I got into the yoga teacher training, it has been fascinating to look at all of the ways that we can make subtle changes in our lives. And that have huge results, and just getting up and moving, even in the current unpleasantness, the great shutdown or whatever you want to call it, the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of people are locked inside or feel locked inside. But just getting outside, getting any kind of movement, preferably outside. But we're going to talk about some ways that you can get up and move around in the house, in your own yard. But some of the benefits, just getting up and moving and breathing deeply, so good for the lungs. Robin loves to talk about the lymphatic system, so I'm going to let you talk about that.
Okay. okay. So let me just back up a little bit first here. You know, we're talking about things that you can do to get moving if you don't want to go to the gym, or you can't, financial concerns are an obstacle right now for going to the gym, or COVID is an obstacle for going to the gym. Whatever the obstacle is, Sometimes it's about childcare. If you're a single mom, they may not have childcare right now at the gym because of, again, the COVID-19. And you're looking for ways to, make your life more active because you can't get there. So sunshine, being outside. A lot of people are talking these days about anxiety and depression, and, it's more of a struggle with everything that's going on. And being outside, the sun, helps activate your body to create not only vitamin D, but also serotonin. And serotonin is the thing that makes you happy in your body. It's one of our natural brain chemicals. The other thing that is produced by movement is dopamine. Dopamine is another one of those things that our brain naturally produces, which makes us happy.
Well, it's a natural narcotic. I mean, it has similar effects to opioids.
So these are things that make us happy.
You hear people talk about runner's high, and they get into that runner space, and they just get that kind of natural high. That's dopamine.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, right. So all of these, any of these things that we're talking about here will help improve brain chemistry and also help you physically. So there are so many good reasons. And then, going back to the lymphatic system, and I think I said this on last week's show, or maybe it was the week before, that our lymphatic system is the system in our body, and I'm putting this as simply as possible, that basically is in charge of taking all the gook and moving it through our lymph systems and getting it out of our body. When we have a lot of toxicity built up in our bodies, the lymphatic system, the liver, the spleen, these are all organs that deal with our bodily waste. They get, when we have a lot of toxicity because we eat a lot of processed food or we don't take good care of ourselves or whatever the issue is, the lymphatic system can get gunked up. Think of it like a car and the old oil in your car. And unless somebody's draining that oil and refreshing it, it starts to get really sludgy and slows the car down and the car doesn't run as well. And so the best way to make sure that your lymphatic system is functioning properly is through movement. The body does not have like a pump for the lymphatic system of its own. So like your liver has a little, spasm in there, and it sends the stuff, out of your body to the colon from the liver, and let's get rid of this stuff. But the lymphatic system doesn't do that. It relies on kinetic energy, the energy of your body moving. Think about how we evolved. We were hunter-gatherers, and what we did was we walked a few paces, we bent over, and we picked up something. And we walked a few more paces, and we would bend over and pick up something. Or we would run in short spurts. So there was a lot of movement of the hunter-gatherers, right? Always walking. We're made for this sort of slow, long-term walking. That's exactly what helps the lymphatic system clean itself, is this low-impact, walking, this pump. You're pumping the blood and the lymphatic system, and it's helping it clean itself out. And you don't have to be strenuously working out. It most Ayurvedic physicians agree, and in Ayurveda they talk about a 20-minute gentle walk is really all you need to do to keep your lymphatic system in good shape. Now we also know that walking longer than that is good, but that's the range they want you to shoot for to start. Just go for a walk for 20 minutes. It doesn't have to be particularly strenuous. It just has to be 20 minutes, which is basically, if you think about it, a 20-minute walk is 10 minutes out, 10 minutes back. A 20-minute walk is walking around the supermarket, up and down all the aisles, if you think about it. You probably walk longer in the supermarket than 20 minutes. A 20-minute walk is going to that big box store and, walking around the perimeter of the store maybe two or three times. Or going to the mall and walking around in the mall. I don't know about some of you, but where we live, winter, it's fall now, and winter will be coming soon. So we're always mindful about what can we do in the winter inside that's going to still be movement. You have grandkids, go ahead.
No, I want to jump in here talking about the walking, particularly outside. Now, we are, I admit, blessed to have to live in nature. I mean, we live where we can go for walks. We're right behind the state game lands, and we love to get out and do our we enjoy the walk, so we're out probably in 30 minutes out and 30 minutes back. But one of the things that we have taken to doing lately is I take my cell phone camera and just take pictures of the nature scenes that are out there. And, you know, we're surrounded by trees on this one tree-lined avenue or road that we walk along. And just, cornfields and mountains, and just wherever you are, take your cell phone camera and just take pictures of the beauty of the nature around you or the neighborhood. You'd be surprised what you can find that's, photographic, photogenic in any environment. Wherever you are, just take pictures and notice the stuff that's going on around you, and that will make the walk even more pleasant and something that you'll look forward to. It's not just, exercise. There's the, appreciating beauty.
Yeah, and part of that, stopping and appreciating the beauty that you're seeing, that goes sort of links into that Shinrin
Shinrin-yoku.
Thank you, Yoku. I for some reason can't say it tonight. That we've talked about in the past. If you're admiring the beauty around you, and you are making a conscious effort to sort of stop and look at this and observe, and just it fills you with these good brain chemicals, and it slows down your pulse and it relaxes you, and it gives you a sense of life is good, and it gives you a sense of wanting to come and do this again, the next day, to just see how beautiful everything is. Watch that beautiful bird in a tree for a few moments. Watch the caterpillar crawl across the road. Whatever it is, watch the chipmunks. We saw deer a week or so ago. As we were on our walk. And it was just really cool. And so take the time, when you're going to go out for your walk, to admire things. And part of getting into the habit of doing that, as Terry was saying, is a really good idea, is take your camera, take pictures. And that way you're kind of giving yourself some fun. And you'll learn how to use your cell phone camera even better the more you use it. One of the other things that walking does, and Terry touched on this, is forces you to expand your lungs. You breathe more deeply when you're walking and exercising, and that is so good for your lungs, because as Americans, we tend to all breathe very shallow, and our lungs never get fully expanded. And it's just like any other muscle in your body. When you don't use it, it becomes like atrophied. And so when you get sick, it's harder to get rid of the mucus or whatever might be in your lungs. And one of the things that they're talking about is everybody should be breathing, these deep breaths, like take 10 very deep breaths, fill your lungs, hold it for a few moments, and then express it really hard, like whoosh it out of your lungs to keep your lungs toned. But, if you're out walking and you're walking up a hill, because, I live in Pennsylvania and we have big hills here, so you're walking up a hill, you're going to be breathing harder than if you're just, walking on a flat thing, and let's say in the mall. Not that you shouldn't walk in the mall, you should, but if you can walk outside in the weather, if it's not too bad out, you're going to get a better overall
I don't want to say the word workout, but you're going to get an overall better exercise for your body. Just because, you know, you're going to have moments where you're walking uphill, you're going to have moments where you're walking downhill. It's not just flat. And that uses different muscles, and that exertion of going up and downhill actually assists in the release of those chemicals. When you exert yourself, your body calls for those chemicals. Well, she's exerting herself. We're going uphill. Let's get those chemicals going. Let's get that dopamine going. And that's part of the benefit of the exercise. You know, we always hear so much about, oh, you exercise, you get fit. But nobody really ever explained why or what. And these are some of the whys and whats. And why it's important. It's not even just about your physical body. It's not just about losing weight. It's not just about getting, you know, ripped abs. What it's really about is mental health and vitamin D. You know, they've linked a lack of vitamin D to people who are more prone, more susceptible to certain diseases like cancer. I happen to know people who, you know, they had the test and they have some gene that says they might get cancer, and their doctors got them on 3,000 units of vitamin D every day to take. The only way to get vitamin D, other than taking it in a supplement like that, is to get outside in the sun. That's what cues our body to create vitamin D. So this is an answer for that as well. So getting outside and walking just that 20 minutes. And I know if you live like where I live in Pennsylvania, you know, the sun at certain times of the year, you're not going to get a lot of vitamin D from the sun. But some is better than nothing, right? So, and again, it's all about getting those lungs pumping, getting the lymphatic system pumping, and getting your body to create those good brain chemicals. There are so many things that we can do besides just walking that can help, you know, with our health. One of the other things is that if you are walking, like where we walk on a road that's got a lot of trees, and you know, we actually can go and walk up into the game lands if we want to, on the trails. We're walking amongst the trees, and we've also talked about with the Shinrin Yoku. There, I said it. If you're walking amongst the trees are emitting the photosynthesis, and those chemicals, the photosynthesis that the trees produce, actually reduce stress and can actually help you heal your own body.
Yes.
It's been scientifically proven. I know it sounds crazy, but there have been tests done that prove these theories. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that's one of the reasons that we do the nature walks is mm-hmm. that we have the Wilderness Wellness Program. And mm-hmm. you can check that out on the website also. You can look at Ujvala AYC/offerings/wilderness-wellness. You can also find mm-hmm. it just by going in from the homepage. But
right.
You know, those phytosides are so important for healing, and they have found all kinds of experiments, all kinds of, you know, natural healing and the words are escaping me, but it's, you know, clinical studies. There we go. Clinical studies that are showing the healing properties of exposure to nature.
Right. There was a study, and I've talked about this before, where they tracked patient rooms at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York that looked out onto green gardens, even just lawns, but nature, right? The people in those
yeah.
rooms recovered more quickly and had better outcomes to their procedures and their hospital stays than the people who were looking at the parking lot on the other side. And the hospital actually rearranged as many rooms as possible to be able to look out onto nature. And the rooms that don't have huge wall murals of nature scenes, because even looking at a picture of nature will make you feel better, because your body remembers that that's where it comes from. And let's face it, we all started living, our evolutionary, you know, trail, we were living like the, you know, chimpanzees in the forests, in the trees. That's where we come from. And this whole thing of living inside a closed, environmentally controlled environment, like our air-conditioned and heated homes, has only been going on for, what, five generations, six generations? Before that, people were living in cabins. Yeah. Before that, people were maybe if they were lucky, were living in a cabin with a fire inside to heat the cabin. But before that, we were outside. We were living in tents, teepees, yurts.
Yeah.
You know,
we were living in the forest.
Caves.
We were living with nature.
Yes. Yes. And so, you know, as on the evolutionary scale, it's been about 10 minutes that we haven't been living in nature.
And
so,
look at all of the diseases that we have since then.
That's right. That's absolutely right. We evolved to live in the forests, in nature, and we don't live in nature anymore, and we don't live by nature anymore. We used to be, got up with the sun, went to bed with the sun. We don't do that anymore. People work nights. They, you know, don't have a choice. They work all night long, and then they come home, they go to bed, and they sleep when the sun is in the sky. They have linked long-term people who work long-term at night like that, they've linked certain health issues to that, high blood pressure, heart disease, certain cancers. So, you know, you've got to look at that. And, of course, it doesn't happen in, you know, 10 weeks of working there. It's more like, you know, 20 years of working like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to think about that when you make a choice to take a job like that. I get that some people have to. I'm not saying you shouldn't. You got to make your own decisions, but you need to be aware. And if you're aware, then you can do things to perhaps slow that process down and you know, counterbalance it a little bit. So, you know, it's not just walking. There's, of course, you know, hiking in the woods, which is good, and jogging. And, of course, there are those people who want to, like, go for a run. And those things are great, too. I certainly would never discourage anybody. And, of course, the next thing you can do is very, very inexpensively buy yourself a yoga mat.
There you go.
Make some space in your home and do some yoga. 15 minutes, 20 minutes of yoga. And you can find so many yoga routines that you can follow along on your television, on the internet. If you're somebody who doesn't like doing that because it feels very impersonal or you want to know more about the yoga that you're doing, because, you know, you turn those things on and it's just like, oh, do this and oh, do that. Now do this pose and now do that pose. And they don't really explain very much about why you're doing them. So if you wanted to know more information about that, you could always contact us through the website or call us on the phone now. And, you know, Terry can give you some links to some yoga teachers we know who teach over Zoom, and will actually spend time speaking to you and explain things to you. And again, we're all trying to, you know, keep the face-to-face interactions right now as, you know, as few as possible. So going to a Zoom yoga class, you know, seems like a good alternative. And most of these are free. Some are not. Some, you know, we do pay for. But you, like I said, you can tune into those, you know, 15, 20-minute routines on the television and follow along. And again, you know, certain yoga poses are for certain health things. Certain poses will, you know, a lot of the twisting poses where you're twisting your upper body one way and your lower body the other, for example, that's going to be really good for your, like, kidneys and spleen and your intestines. And then there are other poses where, you know, your arms go up, and that's, you know, maybe for, like, exercising your lungs. And there's breathing exercises that often, like, it's called pranayama, that go along with yoga. And so these are all things that you can do to help your body while we're going through this time when people really are being cautious about going to the gym. Other things. Terry, can you think of other things that people could do?
Well, I mean, let's face it. I mean, if you've got a yard, you've got yard work.
True. And it's leaf raking time, isn't it?
It is. You know, getting out and raking leaves is going to be motion. It's going to be expending some energy. I'm not saying you have to go out and get carried away, but, you know, go out, take your time, rake some leaves. If you've got a smaller yard, rather than a large yard, maybe get a push mower and
mm-hmm.
just do push mowing of your yard. Inside, mm-hmm. if you can't get outside or don't want to, just running the vacuum cleaner, sweeping or mopping. These are things that you're up and moving and you're doing. So, you know, a lot of these activities don't have to be, you know, this big thing. You can just get up and do the things around the house.
Clean out that closet you've been dying to clean out for, you know, 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
absolutely.
And this is a good time of year to do that kind of stuff. You know, fall and spring, you always think about those are the transition seasons. And so those are the times when we, you know, have a tendency to want to change things in the house, clear out things, do a thorough cleaning, get rid of the junk that's accumulated in the closet and, you know, in the pantry and that sort of thing. It's a good time of year for that, and it's also good for you. Another thing that I love to do, and I actually had Terry buy me a little radio for this, is I have a radio in my kitchen, and I put on my favorite channel, and while I'm cooking or while I'm doing dishes or while I'm in the kitchen doing whatever, I'm listening to music and sort of dancing around the kitchen. And music is another one of those things that increases dopamine production in your body, just listening to music. You don't have to even dance or do anything else, but just listening to music you enjoy increases your dopamine production. And that is, again, it's a natural antidepressant. So, and if you want to get your kids or your spouse involved, dancing around as a family, it can be fun, it can be silly, you can laugh. Laughter is so good for our bodies. It releases stress, and it brings people who are laughing together closer. It bonds us. And during times like this, everybody can use a good laugh and fun and something
yeah.
simple. You know, you don't have to necessarily leave the house and spend money or see other people that you're not used to seeing. So just, you know, dancing around your own kitchen can be a good workout, and it can be a lot of fun, and it doesn't cost anything. Like I said, get yourself a radio and put on your favorite station. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Another thing is, how many times have you sat in your house and watched your kid? You know, maybe you've got a 3-year-old, maybe you've got a 6-year-old, the bundle of energy that they are. And you sit there and you say to yourself, my gosh, I wish I had half their energy. Follow that kid around for half an hour. Do what they do. Play with them. Get on the floor. Zoom that car up and down the hallway with them, or play hide and seek, or tag, or, you know, whatever it is, they're play G.I. Joe, go for a bike ride just for you, if this is something you want to do. I know it's, you know, like we're in the Northeast, but some people who might be listening, it's still warm where they are, certainly warm enough to be on a bicycle. There are so many things that kids do that as adults we forget about, that we don't continue because, you know, I'm too old to do that now, like roller skating or ice skating, going for, you know, if it's snow on the ground, going out and going sledding with the kids. Great exercise, terrific exercise. You know, every time you sled down, you got to walk back up, right? So you're going to be walking up a lot of hills, a lot of
yeah.
it's going to log a lot of flights of stairs climbed on your watch, right? Your Apple Watch, your health watch. If you do that. So, and certainly we have a roller skating rink. I know a lot of people don't have them anymore, but we have a roller skating rink close to where we live. I grew up at the roller skating rink, like many of you, I'm sure. And it's great exercise. Go to the roller skating rink and skate with your kids. You know, go for an hour, go for 2 hours. It's great fun, something to do with your kids. And again, great exercise. And all these things produce endorphins. and, you know, dopamine and serotonin. And so these are all the good brain chemicals. I know the roller skating rink thing might be a little difficult with the social distancing thing. This is hopefully not going to last forever. So that's something to think about. There are other healing modalities besides yoga that you can do that are physical, which are like Tai Chi and Qigong, which both Terry and I have done. And a lot of the movements, the very slow movement in Tai Chi and Qigong, very, very good for your body. Very toning, very relaxing, relieving stress, again, creating all those good brain chemicals, again, creating that pump that moves the lymphatic system.
Absolutely.
Tai Chi, yeah, and Tai Chi and Qigong also very effective at moving positive energy through your body, as is yoga. A lot of what we do is energetic, and we don't even realize it while you're doing it, but that's what you're doing is you're moving this chi or the prana, depending on which culture you come from. Prana is the life force, but so is chi. One's from the, you know, like the Chinese, Japanese, Oriental, you know, that's the chi. Prana is the Indian version of that.
Right.
Or the Ayurvedic version of that. So all these things are meant around moving chi and prana in your body. And something that most Westerners don't even think of. And it's why when people do yoga, and it's why when people do Tai Chi or Qigong, and or any other martial art for that matter, they understand the power of this force that lives inside everything and how to harness it and use it to heal yourself and use it for good in your life. And the final thing, and this really goes towards people who are, you know, looking for a way to help themselves with like depression or anxiety, you can't beat meditation. And people always doubt when you say, oh, you should meditate. They have this vision of like some, you know, Maharishi on a pillow who hasn't eaten in 6 days and is, you know, telling everybody, oh, it's going to be good, you know, just sit on this pillow and close your eyes and breathe. Meditation doesn't have to be that difficult. Terry does these wonderful meditations, and I think he's going to be putting some of them up on the website. I'm not exactly sure what his plan is for this. I'm sure he'll tell us about it in a minute. But when you meditate, all you need to do is find a comfortable place and sit down, close your eyes, and breathe. Just think about your breath in and out. And if you have a thought, that's okay. If you can't, if your mind's, you know, they always talk about, oh, you must clear your mind. No, not necessarily. If you have a thought, just say, hey, okay, I'm going to think about that later and let it go. And that's great. I'm going to think about you later and let it go. And then, you know, your goal is to try to like extend the time between those thoughts filtering in. And if you can do that and you can quiet your mind, it will free you from so much of the stress, and it also, again, releases all these good brain chemicals into our bodies, and it allows our body to communicate with the mind, the body-mind connection. And a lot of people talk about it, but they don't really explain what it is. When your mind makes a decision, oh, I'm going to have that third piece of cake, your body has no way to tell your mind, oh, no, 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 don't do that because we're going to be sick later if you do that. Or, you know, hey, I'm going to have that fifth drink because I know that I'm just feeling it. That's what I want to do. And your body, again, has no way to say, don't do that. Your body will make you feel crappy afterward, right? The next morning you'll have a hangover. If you eat that third piece of cake, you might feel sick to your stomach. Oh, my gosh, I ate too much. Oh, my stomach feels awful. But you don't think about that going in. And when your body can't communicate effectively with your mind and say, you know, hey, don't have that third piece of cake. You did that yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before. Why don't you stop? And, you know, your body has no other recourse but to say, well, I'm going to allow disease. I'm going to allow to try to get their attention, to get the mind's attention. I'm going to allow a disease. And so you have a way to mindfully, with that meditation, let the body and mind communicate. And maybe the next time you'll be like, oh, no, I'm not having that third piece of cake. Doesn't appeal to me at all. I remember how sick I was the last time, and my mind is telling me that I shouldn't do it. Also, when you're quiet in these moments of meditation, it allows you to process all your emotions, process the things that you feel. So often we're so busy in our day-to-day life that we don't allow ourselves the time to sit and process emotions and process things that are happening around us and to us. And these are the things I believe that lead to anxiety and depression. We are not allowing ourselves the time to slow down and say, this thing happened to me. How do I feel about it? Instead, you just keep going and keep going and keep going. And your body and your brain are like, wait a minute, we need to process the thing that happened 3 days ago that we still haven't even really thought about. You know, and they're trying to get you to slow down. As it piles up and piles up and piles up, and you're not exercising or doing any of these things to help relieve the stress, right? It all piles up, piles up, piles up, and that's how we get to a place of anxiety and depression.
No, absolutely. And, you know, the meditations, it's funny. People talk about yoga, and what they don't realize is that yoga is, you know, when we talk about yoga, we're not talking about asana necessarily. Asana is one
mm-hmm.
small part of yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Robin was talking earlier about the poses and the twists and some of that. Those are designed to help align the body and align the mind. But yoga
mm-hmm.
itself is about achieving a meditative state.
Mm-hmm.
And when Robin was talking about meditation, talking about stilling the mind, finding that connection to the divine through stilling the mind, take a thought and set it aside. Yes, I'll deal with you in a minute. You know, any of us that have children are used to this, you know, I'll deal with you in just a minute and get back to what you're focusing on. And it helps to start off with a focal point. Very often a lamp, you know, an oil lamp or some kind of candle.
On the wall.
Yeah, or a spot on the wall, preferably right about eye level, so you don't have to strain, you don't have to look around for it. And, you know, those sorts of things are good focal points that ultimately you will be able to remember when you close your eyes, or even when you're opening your eyes and you can pull in your senses so that you're not distracted by anything. And then you will ultimately be able to have that concentrated moment of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there you can expand your ideas of what you're focusing on and take it to deeper and deeper levels. And Robin also mentioned the guided meditations. And I am
mm-hmm.
putting together a program of guided meditations. It's going to be a 12-month program, 12 different meditations that we will be talking about. Hopefully I'll be ready to launch that in the next month, and we'll be having a big launch party on the show. So be looking for that. But you know, there are a lot of guided meditations that I have worked with people with addictions, worked with people with depression, simple healing. Worked with people, helping them connect with the divine. All of that I have used guided meditations to help them ultimately do the work themselves, because that's where the healing takes place. That's where the breaking of addiction takes place. That's where all of these changes in our lives take place within ourselves, and we have to do the work. So guided meditations can be a way of helping that process along and helping us to go down that road that we didn't even know we needed to go down. Introduce us to that child that we were, and help that child that we were navigate a particular issue so as to make change in the present. All of that can be done with guided meditation and guided imagery. And so that's something that we do here at the Ujvala Center. So let's check the time. Actually, we're doing pretty well on time tonight. Do want to remind everybody that... Go ahead.
I was going to say, you gave me the big pep talk about time last week.
Yeah, you were... No, you did good. Because remember, we've got, you know... all of our East Coast listeners are supposed to be in bed by 9 and asleep by 10. Except on Tuesday nights when they're listening to us. So... you know, we promise to do our best to be finished by 10 o'clock so as to let those, you know, East Coasters get to bed at a reasonable hour. So we're on track. So want to remind everybody about the website, ujvalaayc.com. All that we do, you can find there. One thing that I did want to remind everybody, the YVI links. Started the show talking about the Yoga Veda Institute. They've got a program there called Sister Science, which is a free 2-week program that introduces someone to the sister sciences of Ayurveda and yoga and helps people to get basically an introduction. You get your feet wet.
Mm-hmm.
And what it allows you to do is to say, wow, I want to know more. I want to take classes at you know, the Yoga Veda Institute, and I want to get my diploma. Or you may say, this is pretty cool. I'd like to find a practitioner or someone to work with. We can help you with either of those. If you're in the sister science, if you go to ujvalaayc.com/YVI links. YVI-links. Or just go to the homepage, ujvalaayc.com, and click YVI links up at the top. It will take you to the links. You can check out any of the programs, and you can also check out particularly the Sister Science, which again gives you that introduction. If you go through the Sister Science and you find something interesting, sign up for classes. If you're looking for someone to work with you on the Ayurveda, then certainly get back in touch with us, and Robin can assist you with that. So just did want to bring that up. And Robin, you were talking about the Inspire group. So let's finish up the evening talking about Inspire.
We started to help people reach their wellness goals, whether they are goals for overcoming depression, overcoming anxiety, or losing weight, or just getting to a place where they feel better in their own skin. You know, all of the above, basically, because there's such a need right now for this. It's a free program. It's totally free. Not selling you anything. Every week we get together, we talk about different aspects of Ayurveda, things that can help. It's not limited just to Ayurveda, but there's a lot of information about it. There's also, you know, homework for you guys to do to make you feel better. Little things. It's not like I'm asking you to radically change your life, but I think this past week I asked everybody to find out what their dosha was and to try to drink a recipe that I gave them for golden milk. So, you know, I'm not saying major life-altering things here.
These are all things, though, that are going to step by step by step slowly make you feel better. This is probably this program is probably going to run about 6 months. It's Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I have the conversions on the website for that, I think. It's not hard. And we all just get together and we talk, and I have handouts, and so you have information to look at after the class. The classes are being recorded, and they will be up on the website at some point for people to view. We have to figure out how to do that yet. I don't think we have quite figured that out. But
yeah,
they will be.
I've got an idea of how to do it. It'll be up within the next week.
Okay.
But you have to be signed up. You have to be signed up on the website to be able to see those videos.
Right. You have to come to the website and just register. So, because it is a private link to see them, so you have to be an Inspire member. It's not just like anybody can go to the website and look at this. We care deeply about the confidentiality of people in the Zoom meeting, so we can't just have anybody. You have to be a member of the Zoom meeting, a registered member of the Zoom meeting, the Inspire group, in order to see the recording on our website. So don't be scared by that. Nobody can see it who isn't a member of the class. Everybody's been loving it so far. We've been doing it now for, I think, 3 weeks, and tomorrow night will be another class. And so far I've gotten nothing but really excited emails from people. Oh, that class was great. And I just had a question about this, but oh, this is wonderful. So, you know, and I'm in contact with people. You can email me. You can call me in between. You know, it's not just this thing where I get up there and I throw this stuff at you and then I go away for a week. So if you have questions, I am available via email, and text message, or, you know, you can call me. So don't be afraid. If this is something that sounds like you would be interested, you know, it's free. I'm never going to be upset if somebody comes and joins us for one and then doesn't come back, because, you know, maybe they learned what they were supposed to learn that night. Maybe they'll come back later and say, you know what, there was some information there that did later register with me, and it did resonate with me a little better, and I want to know more. And, you know, and I'll still be here. So my goal here is to help people. I told the story a while ago. At one point in my life, I weighed 310 pounds. I made changes in my life, and I lost a lot of weight. I think it was like 165 pounds, and was finally able to have my daughter. I had my daughter when I was 43 years old, my first child, because I had always been so overweight, I could never get pregnant. And that was the reason I wanted to lose the weight. Best reason in the world, right? Got to have good incentive. So, and I got down to 145 pounds at my thinnest, and had my baby, and kept the weight off for about, how old is she now, 15? So 15
almost,
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And about 2 years ago, I had a car accident, and simultaneously right after the car accident started to go through menopause. So I had a lot of bodily changes going on. I had a pretty serious car accident. I broke my pelvis in two places. Couldn't really walk for a long while very well. Certainly couldn't do a lot of exercise. And I'm just getting back to it now. It takes a long
actually,
time.
A miracle,
now,
you still have your, it's a miracle you still have your arm.
Yeah, my right arm was completely shattered. The doctor told me that 50 years ago they would have amputated it at the elbow, and I wouldn't have had my arm. But I've got all this metal now in my right arm, and I am right-handed, so it was a big thing. And, you know, I broke my cheekbone and had the quintessential seatbelt bruised ribs. I mean, it was a big deal, and wasn't going fast or anything. I hit ice. I hit black ice going to work in the morning, and wound up in one of those drainage ditches across the side of the road. And they had to cut me out of the car. It was a nightmare. It was just ugly. But I'm here. I survived. I'm better now. But now through all that, like the last 2 years, I managed to put on some weight that I really want to take off and get back to a healthier weight for my body frame, for me, and so that I feel better. It's not about a number for me. It's about how do I feel in my skin? How do I feel every day? Am I comfortable or am I uncomfortable? And I am now uncomfortable, and I do not want to go back to where I was at 310 pounds. I mean, that was just very difficult every day for me to be that, to be at that point. So I'm not anywhere near that now, but I would like to take off probably 50 pounds and get back to, it's funny how quick it comes back on, you know, over a couple of years. And it's insidious, you know, a couple pounds here, a couple pounds there. Oh, it's Christmas. Oh, a couple more. So I'm sure if anybody has struggled weight in their lifetime, they understand exactly what I'm talking about. So before it becomes out of hand, I personally, for me, need to get that under control. But we're also going to be talking about mental health and talking about, you know, if you have high blood pressure or you have, you know, congestive heart failure or you have diabetes or you have one of the things that's very near and dear to my heart are autoimmune diseases. My daughter's father died from an autoimmune disease, Crohn's disease. He had Crohn's disease, and it seems to run in his family. He has another daughter, my stepdaughter, who has also been diagnosed with it. And she's in her late 20s, early 30s, I believe. Yeah. And I worry about my daughter. So will she have it? So this is a personal journey for me on many levels, making sure that my daughter does everything she can to not fall victim to this autoimmune disease and for me to stay healthy and be here long enough to watch her grow up and be able to have her own children. I would love to see my grandchildren. But remember, I said I was 43 and she's 15. Do the math. So, I don't want to have a short life. I want to live for as long as I can, as healthily as I can. And that's really my goal. And I'm hoping that it's yours too. And if it is, then you should join us at Inspire and have fun with us.
Yep. Yeah. So thanks to everyone for being with us. Thanks to especially our East Coast listeners. Check out our Facebook page, Ujvala Ayurveda and Yoga Center. Follow us on Twitter at Ujvala C, and check out our website, ujvalaayc.com. Sign up to become a friend of Ujvala and check out any of the links that we've talked about tonight. Take a look around while you're there. And we thank you all and look forward to seeing you next week. Oh, next week we've got a special guest, one of our fellow yes. students from Yoga Veda Institute, Nikki Nitzbal, Nick's band, and she will be with us talking about some of the programs she's got going on down in Knoxville, Tennessee. So take care, have a great week, and we hope you have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone. Namaste and blessed be.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.